morning, everyone. It's Todd
and Julie
with Christly Confessions. We're actually doing our podcast today outside. And of course, as soon as we sit down to start doing it, then who is that?
I have no idea.
I guess it's some construction workers or something working in the house next door. So at any rate, hopefully if it's not any better, we'll go inside. It's a beautiful day here in Nashville. It's not hot. We've got a little bit of a breeze. We woke up this morning on the other side of the dirt, so that's always a positive.
Right.
So how are you feeling? Because, folks, what many of you may not know is that Julie had surgery how many weeks ago?
Last week.
You didn't have your surgery last week. This has now been 2 weeks since you've had your surgery.
It'll be 2 weeks tomorrow.
Okay. And so you had your first shot checkup.
Mm-hmm.
They removed all the bandages,
stitches, and I'm still not weight bearing yet on my foot. So the week before that, I had dental surgery. So it's been kind of a few weeks of just one thing after another.
I mean, it's literally, folks. I mean, you know, I never even thought about when I married a woman that was 10 years older than me that I was going to have to be going through this. But I mean, it's just like putting the pieces of the puzzle back together because the house is falling in.
Well, that if you feel that way, imagine how I feel.
Well, you know, Julie's been having issues with her foot forever. I mean, literally, what, 15 years?
Yeah. I mean, it's hereditary. It's my whole life.
And, you know, wearing heels and, you know, she'd put a pair of flip-flops in her purse and leave with the flip-flops but go out with her heels. And then when she had to be seen, she'd put her heels on. As soon as she was finished, she'd throw her flip-flops on. And I would say, I wouldn't go through that kind of trouble. I'd just find me something that was flat that went, you know, that matched and keep it moving. Well, I need the extra height.
Yes. And now I'm paying for it along with thanking my father and my aunt because they gave me, just really.
Because folks, listen, she had bunion surgery because she has feet like Fred Flintstone, just like her dad does. And, you know.
And not just that, but I went in because I thought, well, you know, I need to have this surgery. I need to have this bunion surgery. And yes, that is a big issue. But I also had arthritis in the top of my foot, which was causing extreme pain. It was at the end of the night, the top of my foot would be so swollen and I would be in so much pain. It got to the point where I could not walk for any kind of extended time or wear shoes that had anything on the top of them. So it was kind of getting to that point where I had to do something. So having a little bit of downtime, it just made sense to, you know, go ahead and do it.
But now she has to do the other foot.
Yes.
As soon as this one heals.
Yes. So as soon as this one heals and I'm able to put weight on it, then I have to have the other foot done. I'd had this foot done years and years ago and it never really been right since I had it done, you know, so now this is kind of going to be a revision. So it truly is. I feel like I'm rebuilding my body. But you know what? I feel like as we get older, I mean, I am going to be 50 in January. I mean, I now wear readers. I've never in my life had issues with my vision. And now I have to wear readers. I don't know if it's stress related. I don't know if it's age related. I don't know if it's a combination of both. But I'm actually seeing an eye doctor this week for it because
Jesus. I mean, have you looked at assisted livings?
I need to, honestly. I feel
because
like
I want you to be in a place that you can be comfortable and that I don't feel bad coming to visit you.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, at the end of the day, come on. I'm dealing, you know, with Slewfoot Sally over here, who's gimping around. She's now telling me that she's losing her vision. What else are we going to have a problem with? Because I need to know if I'm signed up for all this.
Well, that's all right now. I am just trying to hold on.
You know, folks, again, I wanted to go ahead while I've got it fresh on my mind to thank each and every one of you that continue to send letters and cards and flowers. I mean, we have never received so many flowers. I mean, it's almost like a funeral home up in here. I just want to thank each and every one of y'all for that and for, you know, standing beside us during these very troubling times. And to let you know that, you know, our family is holding together by the grace of God. You know, we have not taken our eyes off of God. We look straight ahead. We don't look behind us. And, you know, we've truly been in our scripture so much. And that has helped along with our counselor, Steve. It's helped so much. And, you know, I've gotten so much feedback from the podcast last week, you know, about forgiving your enemy. And then also about some people maybe taking something of things out of context. You know, what I want to clear up is that last week, you know, I had talked about this YouTuber that I have been in not really a war. You know, she said things that was not true. She reported on stuff that wasn't accurate and really was just harming our family. And, you know, I never could understand where all this venom was coming from. So I want to be clear what I was apologizing for. What I said was that I look forward at 50, you know, at 54 years old, I'm at a place in my life that if I have said anything that has offended anyone, then I am at a place in my life to where I can say, you know what? I apologize for the way that I said that. I stand behind the context of what I said, but my delivery was off. But at no point have I apologized for saying something that was not true. Anything that I have said has been true to the best of my knowledge. So, or what's been reported to me. So I wanted to get that out there and make sure that we're clear on that. There's not a topic that I cannot discuss on Chrisley Confessions. No one has told me that I can't discuss anyone. No one's placed parameters on what I can talk about. If that were the case, I wouldn't have Chrisley Confessions because no one's going to tell me what I can and cannot say. So I wanted to kind of put that out there. Savannah had some travel this past week, which was really good for her. It helped her to clear her mind and get through a lot of stuff. You know, her podcast is coming out, I think, in a couple of weeks. And I can't tell you how proud I am that I will now have two daughters with podcasts. Lindsay has two.
Coffee Combos
and the Southern Tea. And then Savannah will have her podcast. What's it called? Unlock.
She hasn't confirmed that yet.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and confirm it for you a little bit. I'm going to give you a sneak peek. I think it has to do with something about being unlocked, which means that she wants to unlock all of the things that have been, that goes on in the country when it comes to men and women and relationships and what have you. And I said, well, honey, you've really only had, she's only had what, three relationships?
Basically.
And two of them don't really even count. But, you know, she is going to talk about relationships and talk about, you know, how people cheat online and how they cheat via Instagram. And, you know, she's going to talk about a lot of stuff. And I look forward to it because I received notice yesterday that she's asked for me to be one of her guests, And I think she's going to have you on as well.
Right.
But she's got a great roster of people that's going to be coming on her podcast. So I hope that her podcast turns out to be as successful as Lindsay's Coffee Combos and Southern Tea and Chrisley Confessions. And I know that with you guys listening to all of us, that you'll give her that same support. So I'm very excited about that. Also wanted to give a shout out to her again for her Sassy by Savannah at how well that is doing. And
she's working on some other pop-ups. I know you guys have asked, when's the next pop-up? Where's the next pop-up going to be? And I know that is something that she's actively working on now.
Yes. And, you know, she's working on a kind of like a, It's kind of like a bus, a mini bus or whatever that will just be her cosmetics. And then it'll travel around the country and she will fly in and do that pop-up so that she can meet with everyone. Her pop-up was so successful. They sold out everything and then things sold out online as well. And for that, you know, we're all very appreciative. But, you know, I wanted to talk about today about being broken, because that is something that I have received a lot of stuff, a lot of, you know, emails about. And, you know, sometimes in the course of your life, you are going to be broken. And what I have learned is that when that happens, that's God's time to put us back together better than we were before it happened. And, you know, because we have struggled with that over the past, since really 2010, when all the stuff started. You know, we struggled with that brokenness. You know, we've been through breast cancer and we've been through a radical hysterectomy for Julie because of her breast cancer. We've been through the loss of my dad, the loss of Julie's brother, the loss of her grandparents. You know, our relationship, you know, we have gone through just about everything. I mean, you know, we've never lost a child, and I pray to God that never happens. We've never lost a grandchild. And so, you know, I wanted to touch today on the perception of broken, of our brokenness. You know, I read a lot, and there is so much that we should be giving thanks for, but we spend all of our time on the broken parts, but we don't spend nearly enough time on the things, that, the blessings that we've been given. I mean, you know, you have a beautiful home and you sit in your home and you're like, you see another home that you like better. And you're like, oh, my God, I wish I had that home. Well, guess what? The man under the bridge that's homeless wishes he had your home. You're eating something for dinner tonight that you don't really like. Man, I'd love to go to this steakhouse. Well, guess what? The millions of people that are hungry would fight to have what you don't want tonight. You know, I wish that I was in a better marriage. Well, guess what? There's many out there that have buried their spouses. I wish my child was doing better. Well, guess what? Your child is still alive for that to happen. So, you know, I've looked at that and it's caused me to really evaluate where I am in my life. And I am more in tune today with God and my walk with Christ, my faith, living without fear, trying to live without fear. And, you know, sometimes, I mean, you can have fear really without being afraid. And it's taken me a while to learn that.
I saw, not to interrupt you, but I think it's important that I interject this in. I read something or heard something the other day that fear really is just false evidence appearing real.
Fear, false,
F-E-A-R.
False evidence appearing real. Well, because Satan, fear belongs to Satan.
And it gets into our mind and convinces us.
Yeah. Well, we allow it to, because that's what Satan does.
This is what this is saying, is that false evidence, things we see,
are things we actually project. I mean, you know, it's almost like we conjure up.
Right.
You know,
right.
The worst thing that could happen.
Goes great with a summer vibe? Well, how about a checking account with no monthly fees? With a cool breeze, Chime is a refreshing way to handle your money. With no monthly fees, no maintenance fees, or minimum balance fees, it's how banking should be. And when you need to access your money, you can do so fee-free at more than 60,000 in-network ATMs at many locations like Walgreens, 7-Eleven, and CVS. You can always send money to anyone, even if they aren't on Chime. Fee-free for you and no cash-out fees for them. Chime, no monthly fees, no vibe killing fees. Sign up for a Chime checking account, only takes 2 minutes and doesn't affect your credit score. Get started at chime.com/Chrisley. That's chime.com/Chrisley. Chime is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services provided by and debit card issued by the Bancorp Bank or Stride Bank NA, members FDIC. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal fees apply, except at MoneyPass ATM in a 7-Eleven location and at any Allpoint or Visa Plus Alliance ATM. Other fees, such as third-party and cash deposit fees, may apply.
So if, you know, I can remember being little, I would be so afraid of a needle. And, you know, back when I was growing up, you know, you went to the health department, got all your booster shots and all that stuff. And I would literally be in such a panic that I ran away from my mother at the health department and ran into an office and hid under a desk until they found me. And they still gave me the shot in my ass. And all of that drama that I caused for that 45 minutes that I was hiding, the shot could have been over with in 3 seconds.
Right.
And I didn't even think about it anymore. But I think we conjure up the worst. I know that Julie does. And you and I have talked about that.
Yes.
Julie has always been, oh my God, what if? Like literally, folks, if she won the lottery tomorrow and it was $800 million, as soon as she found out she won that $800 million, she'd be like, oh my God, someone's going to steal the ticket before we can get there and give it to them. What if we get in a car wreck before we can take the ticket to the attorney to get them to claim the prize? Todd, what if they've made a mistake? What if this is not the right number? Julie will give you the total op. You do not want, if you are depressed and you are struggling, do not call on Julie, because honey, if you say, I know, Julie, but I mean, but what if it is true that he's cheating on me? Well, honey, he probably is. But you have to learn that, you know, you can get by without a man. To where if it was me, I would be saying, what if he's not? What if this is something that you have just conjured up in your own mind because there's other things lacking in your relationship? So if you want Julie to be your side chick to where she's going to ride with you and agree with you and that she and that your life is going to hell in a handbasket, Julie is your girl. If you want me to do that, I ain't your guy, because I'm going to tell you, but what if it's this? But what if it's this? And you've had to learn because
I think for people who are listening today, I think you can relate to this. When things happen, and bad things happen. We know we've talked about it so many times on the podcast. Bad things happen to good people. And you never see, or in the moment, you can't see the break. You can't see the silver lining. It becomes easy to automatically think, okay, this is not going to go our way. Or this is not going to have a positive outcome. Or my finances are not going to turn around. Or I'm not going to get this job. Or I'm not going to be, you know, this relationship's not going to work out, or whatever it is, when you constantly see the struggle. And I think what I'm working through is being able to get through that struggle, being able to see that there's a purpose for the pain. It's not to torment me. It's not to make me suffer. But all the pain that God allows, it does have a purpose. And that is what I'm trying to, that's what I'm trying to move into. That's what I'm trying to, what headspace I'm trying to keep myself into is that, okay, there's a reason this valley's here. It's for me to walk through it, not get stuck in it, not get marred up in it, and not stay there, but to walk through it and get to the other side. And I think so many of us get caught up in the middle of that valley, in the middle of that storm, and we can't see through to the other side.
Well, I mean, you know, I think that at the end of the day, I can't live that way. I have to live with optimism because I believe that my Lord and Savior says that I will restore you 7 times 70, that I will prepare a table in front of your enemies, that I will never forsake you. You know, that's kind of what I believe. And, you know, Julie corrected me the other day on something because, you know, I've grown up my whole life saying that God will place no more on you than you can bear. And I'd like for you to clear that up.
Right. And so I was talking to Steve and he said that, Julie, that's just not true. What the Bible says is I will not place more on you than you can bear when you lean into me, when you keep your eyes on me, when you trust in me, when you ask God to come into your heart, when you are a Christian. I will not place more on you than you can bear. Not just I won't place more on you than you can bear. It's like what people have grown up. I've always heard people say, money is the root of all evil. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. When you put money above God, when you put money above people, when your sole focus is on money, that is when it becomes a sin. Anything that you put between you and God has the ability to be a sin. So I think those are things that I'm learning. So I think it shows us even more how we have to turn to God in our times. And I've been reading this week, it's the same book, about different stages of the Christian life. And the first stage is the convenience stage. It's that first stage of like, okay, I'm going to ask Jesus to come into my heart. I'm going to ask him to forgive me of my sins. I know that he died on the cross for me. That's, of course, what God wants us to do. And he shows that by his grace. But he also calls us into a relationship with him. And unfortunately, many people don't move past this convenience stage. We just ask God, God, I love you with all my heart, mind, and soul. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. And that's it. It's not until stage two kicks us right in the tail. Stage two is the crisis stage. Sometimes we call it the foxhole Christianity. There's something about a crisis that concentrates our minds on God. The problem with stage two faith is that none of us can remain there. We must either go deeper into our relationship with God or we must go back. Unfortunately, all two people return to the previous stage as soon as the crisis is over. What a tragedy to waste the lessons of adversity. And I've been reading about adversity for weeks now, and I just found these three things. When God sends a crisis into your life, he wants you to desire him, not to just escape from the problem. The psalmist wrote, my heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. God doesn't just want us to seek his hand. He wants us to seek his face. When we're in a crisis, we tend to seek his hand of deliverance. We want him just to remove the crisis. We want him to just take it away from us. That's a help me, Lord attitude. Just help me get out of it. I'm in this hole. I'm in this mess. Just help me get out of it. That's all I need you to do.
Well, not to cut you off there, but isn't it ironic that every time something goes wrong in just about every person's life that I know of, that I know those people are not in their faith.
You know that they're in that convenience stage.
Right.
That stage
yeah.
One.
Because every person that I know, when something goes wrong, the first thing they say is, why me, God?
Yeah.
Well, why are you calling on God today when before this crisis had happened, you never mentioned his name?
Yeah. And this is when this next part is something that I have really, really been super focused on and repeating over and over again. When we're in a crisis, we tend to just say, help me out, God. Just deliver me from this. Take this burden away. Get rid of it. We know with one touch of your favor, you can turn everything around. Get me out of this relationship. Get me out of this job. Help my kids. Heal me. Whatever it is. But what we really need to say is, help me, Lord. He wants us to go further and further into our relationship with him. And that's what the next stage is all about. not just deliver me, but help me through it. And that is something at being as transparent with you today as I can be. That is something that I've truly changed in my prayer, in the way that I pray. I don't pray, God, remove this. You know what we're going through. Remove it. Take it out of our lives. Deliver us from it. But I pray, God, help me through it. Show me how to get through it, because I know you're there. I'm not asking you to be there because I know you're already there. I know you're already days ahead of me. But rather than deliver me from it, give me the strength to get through it. Give me the strength to get through a bad situation. Give me the strength to get through the sickness that I'm going through, or the sickness of a child or a parent, or the demise of a marriage or a business, or whatever it is in your life that you're going through. Not just deliver me, God, but help me get through it. Show me what I need to do my part. And then God desires that we develop an intimate and obedient relationship with Him, a relationship motivated by love. Our attitude is no longer, bless me, Lord, nor help me, Lord, but it's have me, Lord.
I love that. I love that.
At this stage, the heart of believer has been fully circumcised. The believer is humble and obedient, which I think is two important things. Mm-hmm. That we have to humble ourselves and we have to be obedient. Former things have been removed. The circumcised heart is a new and a different heart. And I think Job reached that conviction stage when he was able to say to God, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Through Job's trial of adversity, God accomplished that deeper work that he seeks to produce in our life. When we reach that stage of conviction, we're no longer focused merely on being saved, blessed, or rescued, but we begin to live the gospel of the kingdom. We experience God as never before. It's a life often accompanied by miracles and answered prayer. We walk as Jesus walks. This is the place that God wants every one of his children to be. This is how we know we are with him. And I think that to me was so, so powerful. Not just bless me, not just help me, not just promote me, not just prosper me. But God, what do you want me to do? How can I serve you? Mm-hmm. What are you trying to teach me through this? Because I know there is a greater purpose. Mm-hmm. I know there's a greater purpose, whether it's a new business, whether it's not being in your marriage, whether you're supposed to not be in that marriage, whether you're supposed to go through this with your children, with your marriage, with your business, so that you can minister to so many other people. We've said on the podcast so many times, there's never a testimony without a test.
That's right. That's right. And I think also that, you know, something that you and I are conscious of is that we want our children to see Christ in us, not hear Christ come from us. We want them to see it in our walk and in our talk and in our daily interaction with our children. And folks, listen, I have 6 children. I mean, that I've raised and currently raising. And every relationship is different with each child, but the way that we have raised them has been fairly consistent.
Fundamentally the same.
Yes. But sometimes, most of the time, children are different.
Right. I don't know if two kids are the same.
Yeah, you don't have kids that are the same. Like, you know, I could raise my voice to Chase, and it scared the crap out of him, and he did what he was told to do. I could raise my voice to Savannah and to Lindsay, and they shut down. I raised my voice to Kyle. He rebelled. And
what I find ironic about when you raise your voice to Grayson,
mm-hmm.
it causes him to think, and he's such a thought provoker.
Yes.
Because he is the only child, when that has happened, that he has come back to you in a respectful way.
Yes.
And said, Dad, why would you say that? Why did you think that was that? And whether it's you know, I'm going to give them space because you're one of these parents that, okay, I'm going to let you mull over this for a while. Mm-hmm. I'm going to let you sit in this for a while. I'm not going to talk. We're going to have a little bit of a space here, and I'm going to let you just kind of
think about what you've done.
Think about what you said. Think about your actions. Mm-hmm. And you've tried that with Grayson, and it doesn't work.
No, because Grayson comes back
to you and says, "Dad, we just allowed 24 hours to go.
This is from a 16-year-old, but he actually said this at 15.
Yeah.
Repeat what he said.
So they had a disagreement, and Todd, okay, you know what? I'm gonna let him mull over this. I'm not talking to him. I'm not going to respond. I'm not going to anything. And Grayson literally walks into our bedroom and stands at the foot of the bed and says, "Dad, you just let 24 hours go without us speaking.
And we don't get that back.
And we don't get that time back. And what a waste that was for us not just to talk through our differences and figure out a way to make it work."
And what did I say?
And I think it so caught you off guard for the second that you were like, okay. You said, "You know what, Grayson? You are 100% right. Now let's talk about why I feel the way that I feel and the reason, my reasoning behind it. And then you're welcome to respond with yours. And let's see if we can't come to a common ground." And I think it goes back to, if you are listening to this podcast, and if you are more than one child, if you have siblings, or if you are parents to more than one child, you've dealt with this. The older kids, the older siblings will always say, "Well, that would have never happened with us. You would have never agreed to that with us. That we would have never gotten away with that."
Lindsay and Kyle say it about Chase and Savannah. Chase and Savannah say it about Grayson and Chloe.
Absolutely. And I think it's so much more than that, because I think it's about growing as a parent. And I think it's about learning, just like you said, that no two kids are alike. No two people are alike. And you can't deal with people the same way. If you go through life thinking you're going to deal with every person you come in contact the exact same way, that's never going to work. People come at you from a different place. People come at you with different hurts. People come at you with history and trauma and adversities. And there are so many times, and as Christians, it is our duty to meet people where they are.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, but I've always said that throughout season one to now, that I will meet my children wherever they are.
Right.
That they don't have to come to me, I'll come to them.
Right.
Hey, Cobra Kai fans, come hear what Peyton Liss has to say on Kicking It with the Coves this week.
Peyton plays one of my favorite characters, Tori Nichols.
Our stunt coordinators came up with a sort of training background for each character.
That's interesting.
Tori had done a little kickboxing before, so that kind of came in when I first tried to take on Miguel and why I was cocky enough to think that, you know, I could come in here and I could just make an entrance.
Listen to Kicking It with the Coves now at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podcast One, and wherever you can sweep your leg and get the podcasts.
And, you know, I think that we have an obligation to do the right thing. We have an obligation to teach our children right from wrong. We have an obligation. We have an obligation to God.
First and foremost.
And, you know, Grayson is such a thoughtful child. He thinks all the time. And, you know, he and I had a conversation. He worries because, not sitting here, I'm not going to brag, but I will brag a little bit. Grayson is amazing at baseball, to the point that we're getting 3 and 4 letters a week from colleges around the country asking for Grayson to come to their their camps or their clinics, that we really love, you know, we love what we're seeing in this kid. You know, we want to help nurture this. And, you know, and that makes me so proud for him. But it also places such a stressor in his life, because he comes to me and says, Dad, what if I don't get in the MLB?
Or what if I don't, not even that, what if I don't get a college acceptance to play baseball?
That's less of a worry, because we kind of know already that he's going to get that based off of where he is right now, unless God steps in and says, no, we'll move him here. But my response to that was, so you don't get in. Who cares if you make it to the MLB? I don't want you to go anywhere that God doesn't intend for you to go. I want you to be planted exactly where God wants to plant you. I want you to be planted under God's guidance, that's in a place and in a profession that is going to allow you to grow and serve the Lord. Let your life be a testament to your relationship with Christ. And, you know, I've told Grayson, you know, because he's dating here and there now a little bit. We've had, what, a couple of girls he's dated. And, you know, sweet girls. But I knew when I met them, this is not something that's going. And listen, you know, as a parent, who they start out with ain't who they're going to end up with. And I would always say to him, you know, listen, you need to understand something, son. These are training wheel dates. You know, this is how you learn how to properly date. You open that car door for her. You pull her chair out. You show up with flowers. You court this young lady. And that's something that is not happening today.
Nah.
But it does with my sons.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm proud of that, because Chase will do that with Emmy. Grayson does it at 16.
Yeah.
And that makes me so proud that he does that. But, you know, we had the breakup, the first one, and he was devastated and cried. And I said, and you came in and said, you need to go talk to him. And what did I say?
He's going to be fine.
I said, he's going to be fine. I can't relate to it, because I never had anyone break up with me. I was always the one that was breaking the hearts. So I can't help you with that, son. I can only tell you why I broke up with so many, and teach you not to be as trashy as what I was. I think that we lose sight of that. I think that, you know, we commit sins in our youth and in our life, and mistakes that we've made. And we don't want to share that with our children, because we feel like that if we tell them we did it, then they're going to be able to have that to use against us. Say, well, you did it, so why is it so bad that I did it?
Right.
Well, I feel opposite of that. I feel like I'm going to come clean with my kids. I'm going to tell them what I've done, and I'm going to show them why this didn't work out.
Right.
I'm going to show you the consequences of this action. So I don't hide anything from my children. And, you know, I stood there and had a great conversation with Grayson in our kitchen. And I said, son, let me tell you something. I said, I pray for you every morning and every night and multiple times a day. And my prayer is consistent, that God place a protective hedge around my family and a healing hand on us always, that he place my children on the path that he created for them long before they were ever conceived. And I ask God to bless the person that he created solely for my children. Even if my children have not met them, I pray for those people. I pray for those people that he's created for my children, that they stay blessed, that he keep them on the high road, and that when he brings them to my children, that my children be receptive of it, and that they get together and they lead a life that glorifies God, that they teach my grandchildren, you know, everything they can teach them about Christ, that they have them in church. But more importantly than having them in church, raise them in a life of ministry. And that doesn't have to be sitting in a pulpit every day.
Right.
That can be helping your neighbor. That can be helping the homeless. That can be helping the hungry. That can be saving a life. That can be leading someone to Christ through ministry.
Right.
And I feel very firmly about that. And I explained that to Grayson. And I said, you need to understand, son, you're 16 years old, and that every time you go out here and you have sex outside of marriage, that, and that's not the person that you spend the rest of your life with, you just gave away that one special moment that you get one time. You get your first time one time. I know, folks, that it's unrealistic to think, per modern standards, that my thought process doesn't work. But has modern standards worked for us as a people thus far?
No.
Because had we adhered to the scripture, I would have only been with Julie. You'd only been with me. But then I wouldn't have had Lindsay and Kyle. And, you know, so there is no justification in it. But we're at a crossroads here, people, that if we don't lean into God, if we don't get back to God being in our schools, if we don't stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, if we are the national anthem, you know, these are things that are fundamentally the core of what our country is founded on. It's in God we trust. And I don't care. When you take God out of schools, look at where our public schools are now. When you take God out of the center of your marriage, look at our divorce rate.
Right.
When you take God out of your finances by not tithing, look at the bankruptcies. I did it.
Absolutely.
I did it. I was guilty of it. But when you know better, you got to do better. And that's all God asked for us to do. That's why he died on the cross and gave us his peace. That's why he died on the cross and shed his blood to cleanse us of our sins. And all we have to do to thank him for giving his life for us is to live by his commandments. To live authentically by the commandments, to live by what the Bible tells us to do. Folks, if you read a recipe on how to bake a cake, why wouldn't you read the Bible to learn how to make your life? So, I mean, and I'm telling you this because I want to teach you as I learn. And it's such a powerful moment in time for me because it's a troubling time. It's the most troubled time that we've had in our lives.
Yes.
Would you agree?
Absolutely.
And I do not engage Julie when she falls apart, which is often when you break down and you cry. And I tell you, there's no room for the tears. You know who your Lord and Savior is. You know who can redeem us from this. You know who can literally, even though we've been thrown in the furnace, you know that God's right there with us. You know that we can come out without even smelling like smoke. You know that, right?
Right.
So I sometimes get a little bit more harsh with you because I say, Julie, suck it up. Stop. How are you in your faith, but yet you're sitting here letting the devil just use your mind and heart as fertile ground to sow his seed of doubt? I mean, that's the conversations we have, right?
Yes. It is. We have them often.
And Julie is a pessimist. I'm an optimist. And I have a couple of kids that are pessimists. I'm an optimist. And, you know, I try to always let my kids know that regardless of what happens, as long as there is a tomorrow, there is hope for a different outcome. There is hope for change. And, you know, I've had such great conversations with Lindsay, you know, for many months now, and to listen to her and how she's grown through her divorce, you know, because we were not there. We were not a party to that. We were not there to hold her up for that because, you know, we had the conflict within the family and, you know, she had made it clear she didn't want to be us to be involved in that. And I, as a parent, should have stepped up and said, I don't care what you say. You're my child. I'm here for you if you need us. But I didn't do that because I allowed Satan to instill a level of pride and a need, an incessant desire to be right in this argument that she and I was having. And I had to learn that the decisions that Lindsay made in her life were her decisions to make. She had to be the one to correct anything that she thought needed to be corrected. And as a parent, it's my job to stand with her through the good, the bad, and the ugly. I mean, everyone will show up when the sun's out, but look around you when the storm's raging and see who's standing there.
Right.
That's when you truly know. And, you know, I listened to my daughter today and I listened to the accountability that she has and some things that she and I have talked about privately and that she has, you know, that she has said, you know, I hate that I did this or I'm ashamed of this or whatever. Shame is Satan's tool to destroy and weaken. Have no shame in your game. If you did it, own it and move on with it. Because guess what? No one else has the right to tell you how to live your life. And I am proud of where my daughter is today. I'm proud that she said to me, I took the launching pad that you built with Chrisley Knows Best to go out on my own and to do coffee combos with Kale Lowry and now into the Southern Tea. I want to thank you for that, Dad, because you built that platform. That was one of the greatest things that has happened between me and Lindsay in a long time, because she acknowledged that platform. And I was able as a parent to say, and I am grateful and blessed that you use this platform to better yourself. And folks, listen, her podcast outrates our podcast. And I am proud to say that. That's not a lose for me. That's a win for me. That is a win when you can say that your child is doing so well. So that's what I've always said to my children. If I lose, that means you win. If you prove me wrong, I'm happy to be wrong because that means you're right. So, I mean, she has just grown leaps and bounds. And, you know, an amazing mother. She's an amazing mother. And, you know, she's dating. And we've had the pleasure of meeting this young man. And, you know, we've had more of a relationship with him than we ever did the first one, because this one has been handled the correct way. And Lindsay's more mature today. She's gone through so much. And so much she went through on her own. And I think that's what made her, that's what's given her her strength. Now she's got a long way to go, and so do I. But if God lets me live, we will walk that road together. And I want to make sure that everyone knows that we're not talking about a non-existent sex tape anymore. The tape never existed. Lindsay ran with that because she was being blackmailed by a woman in Atlanta that the authorities were made aware of, that they never called in to interview. They never did anything. They chose to run with my dad's trying to blackmail me. My dad's trying to extort me because Lindsay was told that I had this tape and it never existed. We've now come to find out that the girl said it never existed. So thank God for that. But we're not going to address that anymore. Today's the last time that's ever coming up, because we and our family know what we have done and what we haven't done. And no blogger who ran all those stories, who did not have all of this supposed testimony from my daughter, who did not have these witnesses, it's now come out. You can pull it in our public filings in the lawsuit. They don't exist. So I want to move on from that. I want that part out of my life because that's negative energy. I didn't file my lawsuit to gain monetarily from someone who doesn't have money to give. It was about righting the wrong. And I don't want to harm someone and make their life worse than what it already is. So I'm done talking about that. Today is the last day that I'm going to address anything about the YouTuber. I'm just not doing it because it's just, there's nothing good to come from it, and it doesn't enhance my life. It doesn't make my life any better. As a matter of fact, it makes it worse because I got to keep that on my mind. So today, it no longer will reside rent-free in my head. You know, I want to go ahead and try to get a couple of callers in here because we haven't done that in a couple of weeks. So let's go ahead and try to get two or three in. First caller, please.
Hi, Todd and Julie. My name is Rod, and I'm 11 years old. And I just want to tell y'all that I love y'all so much. I watch y'all show every single day on Peacock. Like, I'm currently on season 8. Episode 8, but I just want to tell y'all that I love y'all and have a good day.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you calling in at 11 years old. I love that. And I love that you're watching the show on Peacock. And I hope that you'll enjoy, the first 8 episodes of season 10. And, you know, Growing Up Chrisley coming on, I think that comes on tonight. I think it was initially said it was going to be the 14th, but it may be tonight or tomorrow night. I forget the dates. But look at your channel. Look at E. It's going to air on E this time. And it's Growing Up Chrisley with Chase and Savannah. And I think that you will be very, very happy with that show because it's actually the very best season that they've ever shot. So thank you so much. And all of y'all listening, again, tonight or tomorrow night, check your local listings under E Network for Growing Up Chrisley for the appropriate times, because I've got them confused right now. But check that out, because I think y'all are going to truly appreciate how the kids have grown and how you will see them in the light that they're in right now. Next caller, please.
Hey, Todd and Julie. It's Kelly Brown from Paulding County, Georgia. I called in last April. My daughter was married to a loser who walked out on her when she was 8 months pregnant. And since then, our baby, his name is Brooks, has been born. He's 13 months old. And she chose her happiness and her sweet baby boy over the loser that she had married. And so you had to call in and give an update. Well, it's been a bitter divorce process for her. He's shown his true colors, and so is his grandparents, who are actually, he calls mom and dad, who raised him. They've shown their true colors. They've come after money. So the judge ruled in our favor on that. He didn't get a dime and has to pay child support. So we're dealing with the every other weekend visitation schedule, which is very difficult for us, but we are getting through that. My daughter is in therapy and getting better and stronger each and every day. And I just wanted to give you kind of an update and let you know that we're praying for you and your family. I believe everybody's fighting a battle, and we never know what that battle is, but we choose kindness, we choose love, except when it comes to the scumbag that she was married to. You know, I'm having a hard time with that. That little bitterness bugs right up there, right standing there right beside me. But other than that, we're doing great, and we wish you guys nothing but the best, and hopefully things will work out in your favor, and God will grant you the grace and peace and strength that you need to endure your hardship at this time. But know that our family thanks you for your advice from a year ago. She took it, and I'm thankful for you guys, and God bless you.
Hi, Kelly from Georgia. Thank you so much, and thank you for following up. You know,
I remember this caller.
You are so true in that we all have our issues that we're dealing with. I'm so proud of the fact that your daughter has stepped up and being a great mother. And you know what? Everybody has those valleys that they go through. And again, I'm going to continue to say it. It doesn't rain forever. The sun is going to come out. And I think you're starting to see some of that. Going through the whole process of a divorce and custody and all that is so taxing. It's so hard on every person involved. And so just know that we, the Chrisleys, that we are lifting you guys up in prayer and pray for the very best outcome and very best situation. Because at the end of the day, it is about what's the best for your grandson.
Kelly, I remember your call very well, and I'm glad that you guys are where you are right now. You know, let me tell you something. People that you think you know, you never truly ever know. And when it comes to a dollar, that's when you truly see the true colors of someone. I mean, you know, I don't comment a lot on Lindsay's divorce because I wasn't a party to it. You know, all the information I have was kind of after the fact. But, you know, listen, your daughter walked away with her son and he has to pay child support. My daughter walked away with her son. She gets no child support because she makes more money than what Jackson's father makes and has ever made. And my daughter actually had to buy him a house and a truck so that she could move on with her life. And, you know, and she said something very powerful to me. She said, "I've already made that money back, Daddy, so I don't focus on it." She says, "I look at that as being one of the best discounts that I could have ever been given." So, you know, when you know, you know, and what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong. And, you know, to me, a man that goes out here and, you know, the Bible says a man that will not work and provide for his children or provide for his family is the lowest of the low. And, you know, you can tell I am a little bitter over my daughter having to buy somebody else a house and a truck, you know, that does and have no child support because, you know, my daughter actually does provide a home for her child. She does provide daily care. She does provide, you know, therapy and all of his medical and whatever. And, you know, it has to fight to try to get a reimbursement on that. So, you know, those things, you know, those things do bother me, but I think it's because of the, you know, of the damage that was done to me when I divorced their mother because their mother was ordered to pay child support and never paid a dollar and owes me $1.6 million, I think, today. And I'm never going to get it, but I don't want it anymore. But, you know, that resentment you can tell is still there. So, I mean, I am hopeful and prayerful that things will move smoothly from this point forward and that your daughter can find a good, decent man that will love your grandson as if he were his own and that they can have a wonderful, blessed, God-centered life. So good luck, Kelly. Next caller, please.
Hi, Todd and Julie. It's me, Leslie, from California. I love your podcast. As you know, I'm always listening, always watching your shows. My heart goes out to all of you and to Nanny Faye. We keep all of you in our prayers. Our son, Stefan, will be undergoing a surgery at Cedars-Sinai. He's 32 today, and he has a small bit of colon cancer. I feel very blessed that it has been found so early. So keep the faith. I know how much you believe in God, and we do too. So we're thinking of you. You're in our prayers, and have a great day because every day does count. Love you. Bye-bye.
Leslie, thank you so much, and God bless you, and God bless your son. God bless the surgeons that's going to have their hands on him. And, you know, may God guide them in the direction that they need to go in so that they eradicate all the cancer that's there. I can tell you that if you cling to your faith, you will find that all of the anxiety that you're feeling and the fear that you store up in your heart and in your gut, that if you can just say, "Dear God, I ask in Jesus' name that you rebuke Satan from my life," it helps me so much throughout my day. And so just that little piece there, if you can do that, I promise you it will help. Please call me back and let me know. You know, I've had a lot of friends that have had colon cancer. Julie and I go for colonoscopies every other year, you know, precautionary. And I know that it's a tough cancer. So, you know, please let me know what that protocol is going to be and kind of what the doctors are saying long-term prognosis is. And we'll be praying for you, Leslie. Good luck and God bless. On that note, folks.
I want to end it with this. You talked today about being thrown into the fiery furnace.
Right.
So remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God didn't put out the fire when he could have. He just put Jesus in there with them. It's not about God putting out our fires. It's about who's in there with you.
Folks, on that note, I have nothing left because that right there is a word. Until next week, good luck and God bless.
and get ready for Westerns Weeks on Pluto TV, all for free. We're coming in blazing with favorites like True Grit and Once Upon a Time in Mexico. Or immerse yourself in binge-worthy series like Yellowstone and Walker, Texas Ranger. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies, TV shows, and more. The best part? It's free. No credit card, no sign-up, no fees. Download the Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now.